You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, and we're back with Dr. Charlie Self discussing questions that shape our lives as thoughtful actors in the public arena of life. We're focused today on issues of labor and of how theory and practice come together. And we, in the first segment, asked the question of what is labor and how does it relate theory to practice. And then in our second segment, we discuss why it's so hard for people to do both well and good these days. And I want to now switch gears again and look at a new question that Charlie was alluding to as we ended the last segment. And that's the question of how can people join in on projects that are meaningful, significant, and sustainable. We've already recognized that people need to make decisions at the family level, at the personal level, also in the community, local community level, and then maybe even internationally. But I think there's a question here about sustainability, about building relationships that allow for meaningful work. And I want to invite our listeners to consider that work doesn't happen outside of the context of a relationship, and that many times there's an ego that drives us to want to work, and we miss out on some of the relational factors that are important to making work meaningful, significant, and sustainable. So with that, I'm wondering, Charlie, what some of your thoughts are with regards to helping people make the transition from being successful to also having work that is significant and that is making a difference in people's lives, so that their lives can really be a fulfillment of all that they're really called to do.
Well, your commentary just a minute ago gave the key, and that's the word relationships. They are the beginning, the middle, and end of any definition of success beyond just a profit line or a temporary popularity. And it's relationships on some different levels. First of all, having, you know, developing enough sense of self-identity and self-worth that you have, that you believe that you have something to contribute to the company's bottom line, to the community's goals, to the family, whatever the endeavor may be. So relationships really matter. You know, people get their most jobs that they have not only because they have an impressive resume, but because they have a network of relationships. And one of the most important things in all of this is that we not use people, but we enjoy and resource and encourage people. You know, there are groups that get together for networking and everybody's passing out a business card, and that's good, and it's okay to promote what you have to offer, and it's okay to sharpen each other's skills, but there also has to be a genuine interest in the welfare of another. And so whether it's within a company, whether it's consultants getting together, whether it's networking, the placing value on others, placing value on the relationships for themselves, in the long term, it's going to do you some good. The other practical thing is, in the kind of economy we're in, where businesses are pivoting on a dime and business plans are changing and jobs feel threatened, being an ethical, kind, relationally oriented, hardworking, careful in speech person is going to be increasingly important. Because when a boss has to make a decision of who he or she lets go, in addition to some kind of grid of performance, they're going to be looking at what value that person brings to the team. And if you bring the values of character and relational integrity, you're going to sustain your job.
You know, Charlie, I can't help but think of my own wife, Charlotte, who recently survived a 1,200-person layoff at her company. And in a context of thinking maybe more philosophically about it, how people are interested in a non-repressive and non-distorting communication process when they are working. And, you know, as I look at how people were made aware of the 1,200 people that that needed to be let go. The underlying propaganda, the comments by the senior leadership, you could tell that there was some manipulation going on, because the company had just made about $4 or $5 million in the last quarter that they were coming out of. And so the question comes up, how can people work together and find a context where companies are not being repressive or distorting communication, but are actually open to free and equal interaction, and not using the corporate hierarchy to just extract labor from people and make them feel like alienated, cogs in the wheel of life or of the company?
Well, you know, it's interesting, to paraphrase Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, no one can take away your dignity without your permission. And I think that it's important that whatever position people may hold, that they understand that their value is always greater than the particular function they're doing. And the best leaders I've seen have been able to hold their workers accountable for performance, change systems, painfully lay off, or sometimes with prosperity hire, in very objective ways. But when the worker knows that they are valued as a person and held accountable for their performance, it's an amazing synergy that begins to happen. Excellence grows, productivity grows. One company, I want to give you a practical example to move from philosophical to right on the ground. There's a company in the Silicon Valley that is both manufacturing and service oriented. They're a company of about 300 workers or so. And they have people at all ends of the spectrum, from the janitorial staff to the people on the line manufacturing all the way to the executives. And so there are a variety of qualifications, pay scales, and such. Everybody shares in the profits. Everybody prospers as the company prospers. Everybody's able to continually improve in terms of seminars and workshops. And on an annual basis, there are opportunities made for lateral moves or to move up or in some way to look at where there may be openings. They're very open. And what happens is, and then the chief executive folks, the folks at the very top, have put a cap on what their compensation will be percentage-wise vis-a-vis the lowest worker in the company. Now, there are still differences. I'm not pretending this is a communist company. But what I find fascinating is you don't find any workers complaining, other than the normal complaints about hard work, but you don't find them fundamentally complaining, because the work is suited to their qualifications. There's opportunities for improvement. There's participation in the wealth. And then the company also, by the way, does tremendous good for the community and for the world in terms of its philanthropy. So I think that there are multiple models out there that avoid the traps of central planning and communism, and the traps of hierarchicalism, oppression, and increasing the gap between the rich and the poor.
You know, I can't help but think that part of that has to do with the internet having a reshaping influence on organizational design, because yep. Now increasingly vendors and customers are speaking into the actual operational dynamics of companies, either because they're being invited in or because as part of that company keeping up, they're realizing that they have a variety of stakeholders, including vendors and customers, who cannot now be just ignored, but who actually are part of the process of designing the best products and designing the best processes, so that the environment is taken care of as best as possible, and so that there is a real commitment to people as well as profit.
Oh, you're correct. In fact, one of our upcoming guests, Brett Johnson, wrote a book with Gary Deschent a few years ago about this phenomenon called iOperations, and I participated with a chapter in that about education. There's no back room anymore. With the information age, almost everything, there's just aren't a lot of smoke-filled back rooms where secret things are done. There's much more transparency. and much more information available. The good news is it keeps companies accountable, it empowers people, it does the things you describe. The challenge is that we have to think of more factors beyond just the immediate dividends to our shareholders and that kind of thing. So the internet is one more revolution. In fact, if you just kind of describe it with three eyes, you have industrialization, you then have the information age with the computer, and then the internet has taken it one more step, followed only by the imagination. So we've got these interesting phases that are compressing together to really change the face of business.
It does seem, though, that there is a human dynamic still, that there is an alpha dog that is put into the top tier of running a company, and those alpha dog kind of personalities don't seem to care very much about the value of people or processes or the niceties. And, you know, they're the people that everybody trusts to take care of them financially. And the truth of the matter is, many times these are huge egos that are focused on high risk activity, and they don't pay a lot of attention to the legitimation of their company or of their own behavior as a leader.
Well, and that's why new models, accountability, ethical oversight, and our kind of communication right here becomes so important, so that situation is at least somewhat ameliorated and called to account. We're never going to lose it completely, because remember, that same personality that is challenged and balanced by the values of our global hope can change or can adapt, even if it's in her or his self-interest. They can change and adapt. And I have found that it's amazing when even a few people begin to speak to something and get the attention of others, that even the biggest alpha dog sometimes has to begin to roll over a little bit and make some adjustments. But you've hit something very important that we can probably look at in our next segment, and that's a little bit about what good leadership looks like that is still creative and still makes a profit.
Well, you know, even here on our Global Hope, I'm not afraid to kick the alpha dog in the side sometimes. And I think that's called accountability. And
yes.
I look forward to a day when there'll be listeners who will share who will call in and share their local circumstance of poor leadership, maybe hold their leader accountable to a higher standard, and that we'll be able to strategize even on the air about that. Well, as we go into our third break, I want to again remind our listeners that we're here for you, and that this show is here for you, and that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Charlie Self and myself for more world-changing leadership talk.